talk about my job as bank assistant since I've been here. I don't talk about my job.
Seems like all parties involved actually knew Bowles was going to get fired, not a couple days ago, but a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no, that's good stuff. That's real good stuff.
Dale Arnold.
The cream filling in the Bellani radio sandwich.
No, God! No, God, please, no!
Rich Keefe.
There's a reason they call me Double Take Brad.
That's right, Bobby.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Don't say hot dog, I'm hungry right now.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Second hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Chris Villani with you. We got Rob Ninkovich, Ron Bradford in as well. 617-779-7937, the phone number. Patriots are the number two seed. One Rob, the one who didn't play for the Patriots, supremely confident about the Patriots' chances in the postseason.
Yeah, man. I think they're going to go to Atlanta.
You know when he gets a little high pitch, yeah. That next octave
What's
is
the
sound
deal with
of
that?
An optimistic
crowd.
Yeah, they're going to go.
That's all I want. I want an invitation of me by the end of the show. That's all.
Look, you've got six teams in the AFC playoff field, I think, that are all flawed. All flawed in some ways. And unlike past years, last year, the Bills were a playoff team, which is weird to just even think about. They were in the play, and there was always that one wild card game that you look at and say, if you skip that one.
That sounds like me.
If you're out.
I've copyrighted that.
Who's your NFC team that's going to make it to the Super Bowl?
I kind of like the chalk there. I kind of like the Saints.
I do too. Saints and the Super Bowl's in Atlanta?
Well, and
they're going to travel well.
There you go. You've made up your mind.
And they're a dome team. And they play their
by the way,
once a year.
They're playing at home the whole way, yeah, obviously. They got a bye. Defense is pretty good.
As much as I want the Rams to be in the Super Bowl for the expose on the coach and his family, I do think the Saints are the best team, and the Rams have not been. You look at Goff.
Yeah, he's kind of.
He's level. He's totally leveled off. Leveled off as being kind.
Goofy Goff.
Yes.
The thing that
I like that.
The thing that jumped out to me in the NFC, and I know Rob Ninkovich, you were talking about this off the air before the show. I couldn't figure out what the Bears were doing yesterday.
I don't understand it.
It's just strange. So they could have teed themselves up to potentially play the Vikings again. Minnesota looked so out of sorts offensively. It was their lowest offensive output in 3 years. And they knew they had nothing to play for. Everybody's scoreboard watching. They know that the Rams are taking care of business and they're going to be the number two seed. So there's no bye to play for at that point. Instead, they get the Eagles. I know Foles got dinged up yesterday, but he's supposedly going to be ready to go. Coming off breaking the Eagles' single game passing record a week before, they're 9-2 with Foles as a starter the last 2 years, including winning the Super Bowl. And that's now the team you got to play in the first round. That was just a weird scenario. I would have tried to engineer that differently.
I also don't buy the Bears at all.
No, the Bears. I'm not a big believer in the Bears.
You're about
at
to
all.
Say stink. You're
I was
going to
say
go
that.
Stink?
I'm not saying that, but they. When I watched the Patriots play the Bears, like Trubisky, I was honestly like, can this guy throw a pass? Like, yeah, he scrambled around a lot and ran way too much, but his accuracy was awful, and I just. To be a team that plays in the Super Bowl, the biggest game, like you got to have a quarterback that is accurate. And like when you think of quarterbacks that are accurate, I mean, I don't think you can think of a more accurate quarterback than Drew Brees. And the way the Saints system works, I don't see the Bears traveling down to New Orleans and beating the Saints. I just don't see it.
No. Mitch Trubisky and Brees, 72-73% completion this year? He
MVP.
Broke his own record.
So, everyone's saying – the MVP race, is all in Kansas City and Mahomes. But, I mean, honestly, I think Drew's never won the MVP, and this year has been probably one of his best performances. I mean, just the way that he's, I don't know, just he's 38 years old, right? 38?
And I think that's, if Brees does win the MVP, that would be what pushes him to it. Almost a combination. Yeah, he played really well this season, but also kind of lifetime achievement thing.
Yes, exactly.
And 3 or 4 weeks ago, he did have back-to-back games where he threw for like 130 and 150 yards. And if that had happened here, as it did a week ago in Buffalo, is Drew Brees finished? Is he done? Well, then he comes back, has some huge games to finish the season. Yesterday, obviously, didn't play, gave away to Teddy Bridgewater in a game they didn't need. But he's in the mix. I think it's got to be Mahomes just because there are certain
barriers you reach more fantasy points than any player in the history of fantasy
football. Forget about fantasy. How about real points? Only three guys have ever thrown 50 touchdowns in a season.
Did
one's Brady.
Forget about fantasy?
I said forget about fantasy. Oh. Forget about
did
it.
Just
real numbers. I think I might have accidentally. Yeah, there you go. 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and the only other quarterback that's done that, I think, is Manning. He's the only other guy. So it's hard for
his
me to bet
are
against
freakish.
That guy.
I mean, it's pretty impressive what he's been able to do in his first year starting. I mean, and then going back on the mental aspect of it and the pressure, I mean, they did lose pretty big. It was a pretty big thing for him to lose his running back, Hunt, you know, and the way that happened during the week. And, you know, they've been able to kind of still have a running game, and they've still been very productive as far as explosive plays. And that's the biggest concern for me is that offense, they have the ability to be very explosive. And it's just one play. All they need is one play, and they got a guy like Hill, who's the fastest guy on the planet, basically, playing football. And he's very, very explosive. So the only concern I have for the Patriots going to Kansas City is the Patriots having to need a score and having to need that quickly in an explosive play. And their offense isn't built to be explosive. It's built to be a running team with play action pass, intermediate routes, and that's pretty much how they get
to me. Coming off of we talk about not putting too much stock into one game, like the Buffalo game. Don't put too much stock in this. But I look at yesterday, and one of the takeaways I had was, oh my goodness, the defense is playing pretty well. And immediately when I brought that up to somebody, I brought up to Ryan Hannibal, who covers the Patriots for us. He said, "Well, you look at the teams they've played." You look at the teams they play with Buffalo and Pittsburgh and whatever. But I just look at that defense. We've talked, I think we were talking off the air about Trey Flowers, but okay, he's becoming a legitimate pass rusher. Gilmore is perceived as one of the, if not the best cornerbacks in the NFL. You have Hightower's probably playing a lot better than he was at the beginning of the year. And it just looks like a decent. I don't know if they can shut down Kansas City.
It's hard for me to say that when like the Steelers ran for how many yards in the running game, and that was only three weeks ago, basically
without James Conner too.
Yeah, so I mean they were running with second and third string running backs. So the only aspect on the defensive side of the Patriots that I really want to see like have some drastic improvement in the playoffs would be just the running game. And yeah, I know they stopped the Jets from running the football, but
that doesn't count.
I mean, their offensive line is pretty terrible, the Jets offensive line. So, you know, if they can be a very good team in the playoffs at stopping the run, I think 100% their defense is really good right now.
It's a lot better than we thought it was going to be, right?
Yes, I think it's better that now where they're at right now is better because the secondary is playing very, very well. So rush and coverage all work together. So if you're a good secondary, it helps your rush your guys up front because then you know they have an extra second to get to the quarterback. So and then on the flip side of that, if your rush isn't getting to the quarterback as quickly, it puts more stress on the secondary. So in the playoffs, they need to have a good combination of coverage and rush and coverage. It all works together.
I look at the Chiefs, and yeah, the offensive numbers are obviously eye-popping. They still are by far the worst defense of any team in the playoffs. I think they were 31st in the league in points allowed this year. And it's, you know, people were talking about the back-to-back December losses for the Patriots hadn't happened since 2002. Well, the Chiefs also stumbled into the playoffs here. They lost two. They needed to beat Oakland. Kind of the equivalent, we'll call it the West Coast equivalent of beating the Jets in Week 17. They needed those games. They needed that win yesterday just to guarantee the top seed. I'm not saying Kansas City's not, you know, on paper at least, the odds-on favorite or the best team. They're the number one seed for a reason. But if you go into Arrowhead and you've got one quarterback that has so much playoff experience, another guy that has none, and so often in the postseason, and Rob, you were talking about this, it comes down to that one mistake. Well, who are you betting on to make that one mistake, one guy or the other, Mahomes or Brady? I'm betting it's going to be Mahomes, the guy who turned it over five times in the Monday Night Football game against the Rams.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
You don't buy that he turned it over five times against the Rams? Because he did.
You may have proof, thanks to the Google machine, that happened, but I don't buy
I watched
too
the
much,
game. I
too
saw
much
that
like a quarterback who doesn't have experience is going to go in and crap their pants. Because I look at, here's an example. Blake Bortles last year, right? Blake Bortles is tearing it up And then they inexplicably started reeling him back in. Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles, and he was able to do it in the playoffs at the most important time. Yes, I'd rather have Tom Brady. Yes, I'd rather have somebody who has been there a bunch of times. But you can't just say, oh, Patrick
but it's
Mahomes.
But it's not just Patrick Mahomes' inexperience. It's also the way that he plays. He's a home run hitter, which can lead to home runs, can lead to big plays, but can also lead to forcing it in spots where he shouldn't. And that's where defenses, good experienced defenses, can make you pay. And as much as the Patriots have struggled against the run, they've covered really well. They've got a Pro Bowl cornerback this year who's played like a Pro Bowl cornerback. And they're the type of team that can turn you over in those spots.
I think what you're saying is 100% accurate. The one thing that I can say about Mahomes, I'm not saying you won. I just said you had accurate.
The story is yet to be told, my friend.
I'm not finished. Listen to me. When I watch Mahomes play, he does force a little bit. So some of that gunslinging, like sidearm, like awkward throws that everyone's like raving about, like those can be interceptions at times because the ball's. You're not throwing it the way a quarterback would necessarily be very accurate. You're kind of slinging it, you know? So guys that have that mentality, the Brett Favre mentality of, hey, I'm gonna wing it in there and hope for the best. I mean, yeah, sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. The ball's volleyballed up in the air and it's an interception or it's a big play. So, you know, I really think that Kansas City is a better team at home. So for them to have the number one seed, it really, really, really helps them to continue to move on in the playoffs because that's their advantage. That's their 31st or 31st ranked defense. That's the best possible scenario is for them to be the one seed, and they got it. So you hope that maybe they do have a hiccup here, and you'd like to play the Texans. You'd like to play the Texans.
You really are down on the Texans.
I am. You know, I don't think the receiving core is that great. And, the coaching, look, we've played them a lot. They wore their varsity jackets to the playoff game when we beat them very badly. So, look, they can have all the confidence in the world. But I think at the end of the day, I'm going to go with history.
Well, the Patriots should have a lot of confidence coming off that 38-3 win yesterday. We're joined now by Patriots defensive lineman Trey Flowers. Trey, it's Chris Vellani, Rob Ninkovich, and Rob Bradford here in Brighton. How you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
We're doing well. Obviously, a complete game, it seemed, for you guys yesterday against the Jets. Did you feel like that was maybe the most complete effort that you've had so far this season?
Yeah, I feel like it's all coming together. You know, we at the point of the season where, you know, a lot of teams got to play their best football. So I think just yesterday was an assessment to just all the hard work we did at practice and how we took the stuff from practice and took it to the game field on Sunday. So, you know, I feel as though it's one of our better games, you know, overall.
Trey, what's up? It's Dinko. Congratulations on another playoff berth, but I just wanted to ask you, you don't have any family in town, right? Because when you Instagram all that food that you eat, I don't want you to be 275 for that first playoff game. You good?
Nah. I left that on Christmas. I went back home for Christmas. That's where that was at. So
okay, so that was the Christmas.
I told her I can't bring nothing back. Only one meal I got.
It looked pretty good. It looked really good actually.
Yeah,
but so you had you did get a sack. You know, you got a forced fumble. You had a nice game. You know, coming into the bye week, you guys have a week off. You know, what's something that you think you want to work on for yourself?
Just overall, you know, being dominant on the run, just as far as the fundamental, the footwork, the hand placement, just continue to be precise in that way. And then, you know, just pass rush, being able to, get out of certain moves that, you know, offensive line probably, you know, they got their hands on me or things like that, or, you know, just the overall handwork and fundamentals of the game just kind of getting better and tightening up on my technique and fundamentals going into the bye week, you know. So,
yep. You got to work on that. Hey, when when a tackle pulls you down, I saw that one. You try to long arm.
Yeah. The top. Yeah, they've been doing that to you. Like that. Yeah. It's, you know, it, like I said, it's a technique. You know, a vet move.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to understand that. You know, it may come sometimes, so you gotta be prepared to count off of it. So
that's it.
Along those lines, yeah. Trey, have you gotten more attention in the last few weeks, in the second half of the season?
He always gets attention.
I know, but has he gotten more?
He always has attention.
I mean, this, you know, you find teams that, you know, you may see them kind of protecting the tackle a little bit with the guard, with the chip, things like that. But, you know, that's going to come with, you know, just being, you know, successful, having a little bit of success. And, you know, it's one of the things I know, and, you know, I got to still try to find a way to be productive in that, or allow my teammates to be as productive as they can in that. So, you know, that's what comes with it. I might have gotten a little bit more attention, but, you know, it comes with it. So,
Trey, what's the biggest single focus for you guys as a team now with the bye week?
Yeah, well, defensively, I guess you could say, you know, all those things that probably hurt us as far as, you know, the runs that maybe hurt us early in the year or, you know, late in the season. You know, just continue, like I said, continue going back to the fundamentals, attacking, getting off blocks, you know, just being more physical, things like that. So, you know, defensive-wise, just, you know, like I said, those core fundamentals, and then, you know, the runs that maybe hurt us, and, you know, like I said, getting after the passer, you know, the rush lanes. And then you had might have messed up on a few of them yesterday, but, you know, just continue to get better in that aspect, because, you know, out of a lot of teams that we potentially can play, you know, you see Houston, and you got Houston, you got Ravens, Atlanta, you got the Chargers, you know, he can get away from a little bit of Mahomes. So, you know, you got to tighten up on those rush lanes and, you know, continue to be able to stop the run.
So you've gone through this. Now that you've gone through it a few years, what do you tell these guys who haven't gone through it? What is the thing, like we've been talking to Rob here and about it, the playoffs are a different animal, so forth and so on. But having gone through it, what do you sit down with somebody who hasn't gone through it and say, hey, you know what? This is what is ahead of you right now.
Yeah. You know, just for the young guys, just letting them know that, you know, it's a big game, but it's still just a game. So, you know, you don't come in and thinking that you got to play this spectacular football and do something outside of yourself. You know, you really just got to do your job. And, you know, we got a lot of young guys who've been doing pretty good for us, you know, this whole year, and just kind of explain it to them that that's all you pretty much got to do. Just do your job, continue to do your job, let the play come to you, and then, you know, just be great when it comes to you. So, you know, that's just one of the things that, you know, you could tell a guy that probably hasn't gone through it that, you know, think that, you know, the playoffs, you got to have this big spectacular, you know, performance or this great thing that you got to do other than your job. You know, you just really got to do your job and do it well. So,
Trey, it's Nico again. I just wanted to ask a little bit about Rivers. I know this year, you know, he hasn't been on the field as much as a lot of people thought that he would. But I know he works really, really hard. He got his first sack against the Jets. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, Rivers and his work ethic?
Yeah, it always feels good just to see a guy that, like you said, works so hard. He comes in early, leaves late. He always working on his fundamentals, his technique, going throughout practice. You know, you watch it on the film, and just him coming along, and for him to go out there and go get his first sack, be rewarded with, you know, I think he had, you know, that was the first play he went out there and got a sack. So, you know, anytime you see, you know, a guy like that work hard and get rewarded, is always, you know, exciting. You know, we was all in the whole D-line, just over on the sideline, just everybody happy for him, and that he, you know, went out there and got his feet wet, so to speak, and, And, you know, he got his sack. So, you know, everybody know how hard he works, and he's definitely good to soon get rewarded.
Dre, you mentioned some of the teams that you guys might be playing a couple of weeks from now. When you look at the different challenges that these offenses for Houston or Baltimore or L.A. present, which one do you think presents the toughest challenge for you guys as a defense if they end up being the team that comes to Foxborough?
About every team, man, it's a playoff, so you got to think about every team is playing at their best, and, you know, you got – you know, on one end, you got Baltimore that, you know, has a running quarterback, great offense, you know, young guy who, you know, can make plays happen. And then the Chargers, obviously, you got a vet guy that, you know, knows the game, know the playoff atmosphere, and, you know, got a good team coming with them. So and then you got the Colts who, you know, obviously, Andrew Luck, you know, playing his best football. And, you know, you got Houston who's, you know, they've been playing their best football this final back end of the season. So, you know, just about anybody could be an upcoming challenge, and, you know, you got to prepare well for them. So.
Trey, this run to the postseason comes in the backdrop of a contract year for you. I know you said this week that money is not a motivation for you. Would you potentially take less money to stay here in New England if it's the best situation?
Man, I'm just looking forward to this. We play the January 13th game, man. You know, all that's gonna take care of itself. You know, and you know, it's gonna be what it is. And you know, I'm going to the bye week. We're gonna get better. You know, defensively and as a team. And you know, whatever opponent come out, we're gonna prepare for them. So.
Good answer, Trey. I like that, baby. Keep focused.
Good effort, Chris.
I like that.
Yeah. Did guys like Rob teach you how to give the answers like that? And I'm being completely serious. Yeah. It always amazes me how good you guys are.
No, there's no teaching involved.
Yeah. Oh, that's false.
No, you observe. Nah. Trey's observant. He's very observant. He takes in a lot. He absorbs.
That's good.
He's a sponge.
Yeah. But all right, Trey Flowers.
But let me get that Raptor, though, bro. That thing's sick.
I hear you, man. I might switch it out. I might have to switch it out.
I know you're going to switch it out.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for being on. Thanks for coming on a nice day where you get to just watch tape and relax a little bit for a couple days.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah.
All right,
thanks for having me.
Trey Flowers, enjoy the bye week, and we'll see you guys in a couple of Sundays from now.
All right, see you.
Trey Flowers, Patriots defensive lineman, and I knew that Ninko would like the answer, and I knew Bradfo would like the question. You can tell the different trainings.
I
understand
this guy
your
wants
logic.
The, this
I
guy wants the clickbait logic, headline.
But
this
I know,
guy, yeah.
I know the right ways and the wrong ways to answer.
I am fascinated by the answers. Obviously, the answers never say anything. I could have almost scripted exactly how he was going to answer that question. But I've always been fascinated. Nobody. I've heard you talk about this before. I've heard you talk about, you know, how the one time that you might have slipped up, you got reprimanded for it. But it's not easy. It's not easy when you have master at their craft like Chris Vellani.
I really
Bill. Bill knows me especially. He'd like laugh at me like, did they get you again? Because sometimes I talk too much and I just slip up a little bit and I just talk a little too much. That's just me. I'm sorry, but. No, the you guys are good. You media guys are really good. You media guys really know how to, you know, finagle some questions.
We're not good enough. Are there bullet points? Are there like, okay, if you're asked,
don't make any type of statement that could drastically motivate someone else to put it up on a bulletin board or say it and repeat it to where it gives another team fuel.
And pivot to the here and the now.
Just talk about what you're going to do for the week to get better on preparing for the team you're about to play.
I thought for sure he was going to say, yeah, I'm looking forward to making a crap load of money in this postseason run.
Exactly. Highest bidder.
And I also, the other question you had.
Back up the Brinks truck.
I really don't want to play the Chiefs. I think that's what he also wanted to say.
You got to take a shot, man. I'm like Mahomes, except I'm throwing picks.
You're like Michael Scott, yes.
All right, 617.
You know, guys, too, especially, sorry. I know you're going to about the 617 call it in.
Yeah, I know.
you know, I'd say that guys don't want to think about the future because football is a one game at a time. The only reason I say that is because you can get hurt easily, easily. That Brinks truck could get a flat tire and not make it to your house.
How can you not be thinking about free agency, though, if you're him? I understand you focus on the here and the now, but it's got to be at least in the back of your mind. Credit him for not talking about it, but...
Yeah, he talked about it. He'll trade in his Ford Raptor and get another one.
Did you see the kid from Alabama in the leading into that game when he was asked about Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
And he says, and he starts to answer it, and then he stops mid-sentence.
Yeah, that was funny, though.
Yeah,
I think he's over. No, I'm good. He stopped.
But that's refreshing because I'm like, at least we know that this is, like you said, he's thought about this, about his contract at some point, but he's never going to verbalize that.
Kyler Murray's just thought about playing for the Oakland A's. That's what's coming up for him.
Number
9 pick. All right, 617-779-7937. We will get to your phone calls next, I promise. We're talking Patriots. Rob Ninkovich in the house. Rob Bradford, Chris Villani with you till 2 o'clock. Sports Radio WEEI.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, Chris Villani, Rob Bradford, Rob Ninkovich, 617-779-7937, the phone number. Just had Trey Flowers. James White will be joining us coming up in just a few minutes. Colleen in New Hampshire, though, has been hanging on. The caller line says, loves having Rob here. I assume she means Bradford, but I guess we'll find out now.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's a first for everything.
Colleen.
Hi. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Hey. Happy New Year.
Diehard sports fan of New England for a long time, but I've been listening to your show for only since after the last Super Bowl because I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on with Malcolm Butler. Mm. You never did, but I've been addicted to your show ever since. And I have to tell you, today, Rob Ninkovich, I love listening to him.
Holy cow.
Whoa. You have great insight. You know football, and I love your voice.
Is it velvety? Thank you.
That's not the first word that came to my mind, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So I guess we know it's Rob she was talking
She was not
about
talking now. About Bradford, apparently. Right.
She was talking
that's
Rob.
What the, that's what the New Year's so for.
Rude. You need your own show, please.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe eventually I'll have my own, but for now I just fill in when guys are on vacation.
Awesome.
You and me both.
Happy holidays, guys.
Thanks, Colleen. 617-779-7937.
That was it. That was it. She's a fan. She was on hold for about 8 minutes, and she stuck.
Your brand
she
is red
stuck
hot.
To it. My brand?
Yeah.
No, it was red hot like 3 years ago.
No. Your brand is red hot.
Oh, a year and a half ago.
And before we came on, I invited you down to the Lord Hobo Brewing Company. I feel like this is the next person who's going to be screaming boom sauce.
What is your deal? How good is your deal with them?
I like to barter. So let me,
I think
bring
I can
me
make
down
that
there.
Happen.
Oh. I'll barter for an appearance, and I'll get a case of free beer.
Just show up.
I love it. I love beer.
You can yell, boom sauce is fun to say, isn't it?
Is it boom sauce?
Oh, that's a good one. What?
Boom sauce.
It's Rob Bradford's home
run
call.
What is it percent? It's like
8.5. So it's economical.
But the cans are also, it's not your typical can of beer. I mean, it's big. The boom sauce can.
So how many cans? You drink two, and you're like it's, you're just...
I had one in about 50
Hold on. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Okay, so three.
Three squares, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
three squares.
Part of the Awaken 180 diet,
breakfast,
actually.
Lunch, dinner, sleep.
Sleep. Yes.
Bedtime.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I look forward to embracing Rob Ninkovich into the Boom Sauce family.
We had...
his brand's red hot.
I had those guys in studio one night, Rob Bradford, and I don't think you had any idea how much it was going to change your life.
Who did? I mean, when you're introduced to boom sauce, it changes everybody's
life.
We
knocked out a couple of those on the air, and then the last hour ended up being kind of fun. Not sure what we said or what was done, but it ended up being all right.
You should have brought a couple. We could have just, you know, it's New Year's Eve.
That's
you could have had a boom sauce.
Usually, it's sort of like the bat symbol. If we actually, like, summon them.
Oh, yeah.
What, we got two more hours left?
2 hours? It's plenty of time.
You want to get a jump start on New Year's Eve? There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
So I know he wasn't willing to answer the question, and I didn't think he would.
What a shock.
But Trey Flowers, it's kind of an interesting potential free agent decision for the Patriots. And I know this is kind of tomorrow's conversation, quote unquote, but still looking kind of long term here. On one hand, you know, we've seen how disruptive a force he can be on the defensive line. On the other hand, he's like 40th in sacks, and for better or worse, that seems to be the metric that gets you paid at that position. And there's also a lot of guys that are going out on the market in that spot. It's a crowded free agent market for him, so he's going to be an interesting case in terms of what he gets in free agency and whether anybody's willing to pay him big money that the Patriots wouldn't be willing to match.
It's interesting. I mean, Trey is an interesting type player because of the fact that he can do different roles, he can play different positions. I don't think that necessarily helps you get the very highest amount, because the more specialized you are, you know, you want a race car, you pay for a race car. You know, you want a very economical, you know, type car that can do a lot of different things, you know, the value of that is a little bit less, you know. And, you know, is Trey a good pass rusher? Yes. Is he, you know, a J.J. Watt type guy that's going to have 16, 18, 22, you know, Aaron Donald?
But could he be? I mean, that's the other,
a different, it's, scheme is huge. So yeah. If it's here, no, because there's not really that.
No.
The Patriots defense isn't built for that. It's multiples,
could
right?
He do
but
it in LA?
But that's what I mean. If he said, like we talk about getting past the quarterback, how Belichick would never let you do that. If he said, go get him, Trey, could he be that guy? He's like between 12 and 14 sacks.
I think that's a good question. I don't know. You don't know, because of the fact that he hasn't had that opportunity. But there are, so look, there's two types of defensive ends. There's a DN that's super freak athlete, right? They run a 4.5 40, 4.6 40. Their 5.10 5 is insanely fast. They're very quick off the ball. They're very explosive. They're good 4.3 outside line or outside defensive ends that just get up the field, pin their ears back and go, right? And your defense is built off that. So you have four guys down. Your linebackers are interior linebackers that are 235. They're fast. They scrape. They make plays. So, and it's a one-gap defense. So that's like your Vikings or, you know, the teams that have DNs that just go. Then on the flip side of that, you have your technicians who, you know, they have good technical sound. They're technically sound in the run game. They're good pass rushers. They can get to the quarterback, but they're not going to have the numbers that are crazy. So, you know, I think that Trey is in that very good, technically sound run stopper, very good. You know, can play three technique, yes. Can play left end, yes. Can play right end, yes. You know, coverage guy, not going to ask Trey to drop in coverage. You know, he's not going to be covering guys out of the backfield.
Who's the guy who's I think it was the Vikings that signed the deal, got the extension.
Have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
He is a complete freak of nature.
Yeah, and he got his money.
He got his money, but a lot of that's all based on look. Like, he looks the part. You know, if you look at Trey, Trey's got freakishly long arms, but he's 6'2", you know, he's not 6'5". You know, Everson, who's 75, 280, 12 sacks a year, he's a freak.
Well, like, Clowney's a free agent this year, right?
Yes.
So you, and I know that, you know, Clowney's the guy that everyone knows, he's the high draft pick, so forth and so on, but let me ask you this. Could Clowney, from what you know of him, play in this Patriot system?
Nope. No, I take that back. I think that he has been with a guy that was a former Patriot, so he played with, you know, Vrabel was there. You know, he has that Patriot defensive kind of system, but they have a little bit more pin your ears back mentality in their rushers. The Patriots defense is a more, okay, let's keep them in the pocket. Let's not let them hurt you outside the pocket. Let's make them work for everything that they get. Don't give them anything like easy, like a run for a first down. So that's why when you see all these broken plays early in the season, that's just uncharacteristic of the Patriots, because they're taught like, that's not how we rush. You don't run past the quarterback. You don't like open up these big passing lanes in the pass rush. Like, you collapse the pocket, you condense the pocket, you make them uncomfortable and throw from a condensed pocket. That's the Patriot type mentality. So I think Clowney could, but would the Patriots be willing to pay for him? No. So that's why I say he wouldn't be here, because I don't think, you know, you look at their salary cap and then you look at what they're going to spend, you know, on defense, if they're going to spend for Clowney, I'd rather give Trey the money because he's been here, he's done it, and he's been healthy. You know, Clowney's came out of college with a knee. You know he's got some type of knee issue, and I wouldn't touch a guy with a knee issue because it only takes – once you're bone on bone and you got, like, meniscus issues, it's a matter of time. You only got a few years left because once that meniscus is gone, you're bone on bone, they're pulling out swelling out of your knee twice a week. It's like, all right,
doesn't sound like fun.
No, it doesn't sound fun at all.
It sounds like
I've seen it
radio
a few times.
A lot easier.
I've seen it a few times. Yeah, I mean
– I'm not bone on bone anymore.
No.
You got about 40 years before you're bone on bone. My right knee, I'm probably like stage two of like degenerative knee. So it's okay. When you play 20 years of football, that's what happens.
Fair enough. All right, James White joins us coming up next.
Nonstop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, Chris Volani, Rob Ninkovich, and Rob Bradford along with you. James White scheduled to join us in just a couple of minutes following the Patriots' 38-3 win over the Jets yesterday. You know, we were touching on it a bit, just the market that could be out there for a guy like Trey Flowers. And you know, going off what you said, Rob, the skill set that Flowers has, the depth of the market that's out there, and he did tell Jeff Howe of The Athletic this week that money's not the motivation. Now, that's something that can be easy to say, but then the money's on the table, and you're thinking about your family being set for a good long time, and priorities could shift. I don't know. I think a lot of signs point towards him coming back.
I think when you talk about money is the motivation, is there certain numbers?
He said money's not the motivation.
I know, but money at some point is a motivator because,
sure.
But if you look at two teams, if you're like, okay, my two contract offers that I have, okay, one being with the New England Patriots where I'm comfortable or I've been here a long time, I could build a legacy to where, you know, after I'm done, I can continue to make money and do certain things that help you, or you could take just the biggest offer that you get, you go to it and mm-hmm. that, you know, and if it's the old Cleveland Browns or say it's a terrible team, you go to, you know, I'm sure Chandler in Arizona would rather have taken maybe $10 million less, but he's with a team that is actually in the hunt for the playoffs, because at the end of your career, I mean, look at Kyle Williams from the Buffalo Bills. You know, I just texted him yesterday, like, heck of a career, man. You're a class act. Played 13 years, made a lot of money, but never played in he played in one playoff game or whatever they did last year, but it really didn't mean
one
much
last year,
because they got beat. But, you know, at the end of his career, he's probably going to look back and be like, man, he might have played for a league minimum to play with the Patriots, you know, or play with a team that's going to the playoffs, just to have that experience, you know. So I'm blessed. You know, I look back on my career, and I'm like, blessed that I played in so many playoff games, and I had and I can say, yeah, I won two Super Bowls. You know, how many guys have played in three Super Bowls? How many guys have won two? I mean, there's a very small group of people that have done that, you know. So those memories last forever. You go to a team and you make, you know, a little bit more money, but at the end of the day, you know, your head coach is gone and you're fired in 3 years. You know, yeah, you get your guarantee, but nowadays in the NFL, you make your guarantee. After that, you know, your last 2 years are fluff. You know, you're not going to make those unless you're still absolutely killing it, but you're either going to be, you know, renegotiated or you're going to get cut. I mean, that's just the basics.
What was your contract? I should know this. But
I don't know. I can't even remember.
No, did you ever have a decision at all?
No, I stuck around. I mean, I never hit free agency really. You know, I'd always would redo mine a year of the year that I was up. And yeah, I mean, if I would have hit free agency, would I have made more money? Maybe. I mean, possibly. But I also, I'm not that much of a gambling man, so when I looked at, you know, what I had in front of me, the carrot was there, the risk of injury is always there, and I had a knee injury. So I think me blowing my knee out my rookie year was really like the eye-opener of like, hey, my career could be over in one play. So, you know, if I have the ability to set my family up or make the money that I can to not have to worry about it and mm-hmm. take care of my family – you know, what's an extra five in the bank if I don't make it, you know? So,
well, the other part about that, you talk about Trey Flowers and these guys making their money, and this happens in baseball too. You can make a lot of money in the postseason. You can make a lot of money in the playoffs. You can make a lot of money if you do well in a Super Bowl.
Red Sox are still paying money to somebody who made a lot of money in the postseason who's not with them anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, baseball is a heck of a sport.
Yes.
But, you can't make – I mean, if you play in the playoffs, you're not making what – obviously, if you went and made a $50 million contract or 60 or, you know, $70 million, look, that's a lot of money. Right. I mean, no one's complaining about making that much money. But at the end of the day, you know, winning and having that sense of accomplishment, I think in life, you play a sport, yes, because you love it. Number one. Number two, you want to be successful at it. You don't want to be just, okay, I made a lot of money, but I lost a lot of football and I don't have anything to show for it except for a car that's depreciating, you know, and it's. You know,
you drive it off the lot.
I got a bunch of cars that are depreciating and, you know, a cool house. And, you know, I can buy whatever I want, but you can't buy Super Bowl rings.
But in the postseason, you can get both. Like one postseason performance. Oh. We've seen it.
Well,
we've
I feel old, like, bringing it up. And the Larry Brown, this guy Larry Brown was the perfect example. You go back to the Steelers.
The Pacers coach.
Yes, yeah. He made a ton of money in having mediocre NBA teams. No, Larry Brown, the cornerback in the Cowboys versus the Steelers. Two picks, right to him in the Super Bowl. Neil O'Donnell wins Super Bowl MVP and makes a ton of money for free agent contract with the Oakland Raiders. And this isn't only football. I've said this a million times. In baseball, it is bizarre. We have examples right now of this being the case. If my guy, Joe Kelly, if Joe Kelly doesn't go on his postseason run, he is not getting a three-year deal from the Dodgers. That's a fact. So it is just how it works, which is and that's fine.
Nathan Eovaldi getting a fourth-year deal.
Eovaldi's another one.
I mean, do you guys remember Paul Kruger?
Yeah,
he was
with
the Ravens. He had he was a decent, not I wouldn't say an elite pass rusher, you know, and had one good playoff run. They win the Super Bowl. You win the Super Bowl, you get paid. He went to Cleveland. You know, didn't play out his contract because he wasn't, you know, what they paid for. And, you know, he still made a lot of money. He's not playing anymore, but I'm sure that's because he made enough money.
Well, how about not only with the postseason, but just being part of a winning environment, right? So, Willie McGinnis
yep.
went to Cleveland.
Yeah, you get one last bite.
Right, and part of the resume, part of that package when he signs a deal, I'm not saying he doesn't get a deal, but part of it is you're coming from, you know how to win.
You can lead, you can help, you know, provide some sense of direction on, you know, what is expected. You know, how does a winner prepare? How does a winner go about their business? So, yeah, I mean, a lot of teams want to pay for that. Why do you think, you know, a lot of these assistants like Matty P, you know, all these, the Patriot coaching tree are all over the NFL because owners want that Patriot way. They want a team like the Patriots. That's what they strive for.
They keep going down that road despite the fact that that coaching tree hasn't produced a lot.
Not
at the NFL level, college
it's
level,
It's hard.
Yes.
I mean, it is really hard. I mean, look at what Matty P has to deal with in Detroit. I mean, all the BS on, like, him being late. I mean, the only reason that's a story, honestly, do you want to be honest? Because the media doesn't like him. I mean, the media in Detroit probably doesn't like him because of the fact that he – reschedules their times for the questioning and he's 15 minutes late. So they come up with a story on, you know, Matty P's consistently late. That, I mean, to me is a crock. And then they interview a kid or they have a former Lion who's not with the team anymore, probably because he was cut because he wasn't very good, a little bit angry that the fact that he didn't stick with the Lions because he wasn't good enough. And he talks bad about their head coach. So, I mean, look, it's hard to be a head coach. It's not easy, and especially nowadays when everything is so, you know, available. You can read a story instantly on your phone, and everyone's a writer now. You don't have to, you know, have a writing degree.
Oh, believe me.
You can do anything you want on a phone and send it out, and somebody will pick it up and talk about it. So, you know, again, I just think that the whole people want the Patriot winning way, Bill has had some pretty good You know, it's talent. Yes, Bill's very talented, but I mean, look, you fall into Tom Brady. How many guys can say, yeah, we took a chance on Tom Brady. We had Drew Bledsoe, got hurt, and then you got a guy take over for 19 years and be what he is. I mean, it's like, you know, yeah, I bought the lottery ticket. Did I know it was going to win? No, but now I'm a millionaire.
Well, the Patricia thing, even from outside, when that becomes a big thing, and I'm totally with you, there was something more there.
Yeah, like, can you sit up, please? Can you have some respect?
Yeah, I mean, the whole, like, well, he's late for meetings. Well, okay, who cares?
No, and
you think he's not doing? You think he's not doing anything? That's the reason he's late for meetings.
Fortnite, I think it was. Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Look, and head coaches have to. They schedule the day. They write up the. And Matty P. Look, I was around him for a long time. I respect him greatly. I love him. He doesn't see his family. I mean, he sleeps in the facility. He probably doesn't go home 3 to 4 nights a week. I know that sounds nuts, but that's just how hard he works. And he is so I would go and see him in the morning. I'd get in early and I'd say, Matt, you sleep a little bit? He said, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm like, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. No sleep, you know? So it's like he puts so much into it, you know, for them to try and, you know, talk about his character of being late and, you know, head coaches can't be late. The meeting starts when he walks in. He's the head coach. He sets the time. You are the employee. If I'm the boss and I tell you be here at 10 and I'm putting stuff together for the meeting to put on a meeting on this is how we're going to do it today. This is what I'm installing. We're playing Tampa. We're playing so-and-so. We're playing the Bears. These are the clips I'm showing. And I'm in my office an extra 10 minutes getting everything prepared. When I walk in the meeting, everyone better be there. And it starts when I get here.
All right. We got James White still to come. We got 2 more hours to take your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We got Rob Ninkovich in studio till 2 o'clock. Rob Bradford here as well. Chris Filani with you. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI.